says, the Spirit of God, of the Lord God, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. Jesus is here. He's doing that again and again and again and again. Hear this. The Spirit of the Lord God is here. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, each of us is a garden. The Holy Spirit has planted seeds in us. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Lord, this is your promise. We say that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all.
Thank you, Austin and worship team. Thank you, Alice and Jim. I just heard the Lord say, he sees you. Can you receive that this morning? He sees you. Whatever you're walking through, whatever trial, whatever sickness, whatever disappointment, he sees you. Can you receive that? Say, Lord, we receive you seeing us. When someone sees you, how do you feel? Seen and heard and loved, right? He sees you. Connie and Gary, would you come up, please? Bad timing. just Connie, come on up. You're good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Stand right here. You can come up too.
Yay.
All right. Gary and Connie are bringing grandparents full time this weekend. Hi. So we want to acknowledge Connie and the work that she has done for LifeSpring since 2014. As staff, and way before, I knew Connie when we were in, it was Communion Fellowship, so back in, we got married in 83. So whenever you came in, we were in 83, 85. So we've known her for a long time. We want to thank her. We want to honor her. She is done working at the office. She's not done volunteering. She's not done being part of this church. And so we want to acknowledge the work that she's done, the work that both Gary and her do, and the volunteer work that they do together. They're a team. They give to us. We are grateful for the work that they've done and they've given. And Connie, we love you. And I am grateful for all you've done since we came on board and since I've been working in the office. We see, not everybody sees everything you do. The Lord does. And he honors that. And so we want to honor you today. And we're not saying goodbye. We're saying thank you. We honor you for all the work you've done. Can you just really just give her a clap offering? Thank you. We have a small gift of appreciation back here for you. But we want to, would you come up, Jim Hogan, can we just pray for them? Would you extend your hands?
I also want to say thank you, because Connie's been the transition person between myself and the staff that had moved on, and for us to be part of this. So she has helped me week after week, day after day. There hasn't been a week that hasn't gone by where Connie has given me a word of encouragement about something that I've said or done.
Praise the Lord.
And that speaks a lot to helping us move forward. So, you want me to pray? We'll hand on the mic. All right, shut up. Father God, I just thank you for your servants. You see the hearts, Lord. You read the motives, and you know all those things that we don't see or understand. That when they come with a heart and a desire and a delight to serve. to love and to honor you. Lord, they didn't do it just for us. They didn't do it just for the body of LifeSpring. They did it because they did it unto you. And so we acknowledge that right now, Lord. And so we are so grateful for the way that they use their gifts to honor and to bring life and to bring growth to the body of Christ.
Connie, please take this the right way, because that's the heart. I see a horse in a field, a pasture, okay? And this horse is so exceedingly happy. The sun is shining, the grass is long, and it's just galloping and hopping and doing what horses do when they're happy, which I don't know. But you're free. You're free. You're not being put out to pasture like, you know, this is a bad thing. This is a free. You are free. You're free to do all the things that you want to do and none of the stuff you don't want to do. Anyhow. So, Father, I pray for Connie in this transition time. I thank you for the incredible exhorter she is. She's always got words for people. I pray that you would continue to pour into her so she can continue to pour out to others. Father, I pray that this next season would have more joy than she knew was possible. Lord, I pray that she might find herself ready to burst from all the joy. In Jesus' name.
Okay. Oh, yes.
All right, so we're transitioning over that we want to, at this point, take our offering. So let's pray. Father God, I just believe that you are at work. You are doing things that we do not see. There's things that you've been doing a long time ago in preparation for what you're doing today, in order to make up for what you're going to do tomorrow. And so we just are grateful that you are at work in our lives. And today we want to bring our tithes and our offerings to say, Lord, we're acknowledging that we depend on you, and we acknowledge that you are faithful and that you don't change. Mm-hmm. You are the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Thank you.
And we can bank on that as a play on words, Lord. There's nothing we can do but say thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Church, how are you doing this morning? Good? Bad? Bad? Good? Lord is good. All the time. The Lord is good, right? Several things, several announcements. Women's gathering, when is it? Anybody?
Wednesday,
December 20th. At what time?
6:30.
p.m. It's a white elephant exchange. Can you tell me real quick what is white elephant?
An elephant that's white.
Not quite.
It's a gift game.
Okay, it's a gift game. And what's a white elephant gift?
Something around the house.
Something around the house. That means you don't have to go and buy something, right?
My laundry?
You're not invited. Women.
It's worth a shot.
Hey, keep your laundry with you.
Okay. Next Sunday. December 31st. When is December 31st? Two Sundays from today. We're having a chili carry-in meal. The chili's already provided. All you have to bring is toppings. Okay? Chili carry-in. We have a sign up over there. All you have to bring is yourself and toppings. December 31st, right after church. Is that it? Yes, let's start signing up right away because the next Sunday is the 24th and the next one is the 31st, okay? Short notice, but please come hungry and ready to do community together.
So the sign-up sheet sets up with your name and then you check off the topping that you're going to bring. That way we can make sure that we have everything covered for that particular meal. And the meal will happen shortly thereafter the service. Okay? So just be aware of that.
Huh? Whoa.
I think she wants an exact time here.
She'll find out.
12 noon.
All right. So, something else to let you know of. We have access to a website called studygateway.com. And that website gives us access to different teachers that are nationally known. And you can do these studies at home. And we have a certain number of licenses that we can give out to people in the congregation. So it's going to be more like a first come, first serve. That list is sitting over there that you can sign up on. And what you're going to look at is these video series are anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes long. You could do them by yourself. You can do them with a group of people. You can do them with a study partner. And can you show some of the teachers that are there, Rex? There's some of the teachers there, and they show you right here some of the ways that you can look at it. You can use it on your mobile device, or you can put it on your TV at home. And so, like I said, we have a limited number of spaces, but if you give us your name and email, if you're interested in doing this, we'll show you that what it's like. Every teaching series, it's there. It's either 4 to 8 videos long. And they have a trailer that you can watch the trailer to get an idea of what the video series is about. Would you select the one that we talked about, Rex? This one's called Waiting Here for You, which is deals with Advent. And we're going to show you the trailer so you have an idea, if you were interested in watching this series, what it would be like.
Whether Advent is an annual family tradition or this is your first time, I'm so glad you're joining us for our study of Waiting Here for You, an Advent journey of hope. The word Advent means expectation, and at any point of the year, we all have expectations for something. We're all waiting for something. Maybe you're waiting for a new job or a promotion or a diagnosis or for healing or restoration in a relationship. But whatever you're waiting on, the season of Advent allows us to reframe our waiting season and realize that the waiting is not wasted when we're waiting on the Lord. As we go through this study, we'll spend each week reflecting on 3 things: scripture, prayer, and worship. During our 4 weeks together, I believe we can recover the joy and the hope of Christmas and find encouragement as we wait in all of life's seasons.
You could start that one right this week. But we want 2024 to look different than 2023 as we each of us take ownership of our spiritual growth. Whether you do it by yourself, or you do it with another person, or you do it in a small group. Let's move forward with that. All right, we invite Jim, who's going to bring the word.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother. As often I do when we were worshiping, I find that because the presence of God is real and it's near. And so I like to bring needs of my family to the Lord. And I take a few minutes during our worship time to speak out needs. And I bowed my head back behind the drums and was praying. And I said, God, give me a sign. Give me a sign for our marriage, for our ministry. And I looked up and Becky's sitting over there holding a baby. Scared me to death. Well, this is Christmas. Everybody excited about Christmas? No? I love it. As you know, I was raised just down the alley. Talk about it all the time. And there used to be a Montgomery Ward's on Main Street. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And my mom would send me down to Montgomery Ward to tell me to pick up some quote-unquote packages. And I didn't realize until about 3 years into it that I was going down picking up my own Christmas gifts. But I have wonderful memories of Christmas and wandering the alleys of Goshen and so on and so forth. And, we have traditions that we come up with. In fact, I had a tradition in all of our churches. It's not a very well-accepted tradition, but in all of our churches at the Sunday before Christmas, which this is not, I would always sing Blue Christmas to the church. And if you'd like, I'd be glad to do it now as well. I can take a hint. I'll leave it alone. I want to talk to you this morning about hope. This is the season of hope, and people talk about hope all the time. And to most folks, looking at the world we're in and trying to pull some hope out of it's a very hopeless thing. You got everything that's going on in Israel and Gaza and Russia and Ukraine and Syria and Turkey and China and Taiwan, and it goes on and on and on. And then we've got all the situations with the border, the economy. Where do you really look for hope in something like that? And then Fernando mentioned last Sunday that there are many people, and I know this to be true as well, that don't have any hope during this time of year because of things that have happened to them, things they've gone through. Many of them have bad memories of Christmas because of abuse and things like that. And so what excites me about Christmas is the depressant to many people because of what they associate it with. And so you look at all this and you think, how in the world are we supposed to have hope in a situation like this? And I want to throw that at some of you today as well. How are we to pull up hope? We know what hope is. We're going to discover it today, what the Bible says hope is. We know what we are supposed to involve ourselves in, but actually getting there is another story. And so I want to talk to you today about hope as a reality, not a concept, but the reality of hope that every single person, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on in your life, every person is entitled to hope. And through the steps that God gives us in His Word, we can receive that hope. Does that bring hope to anybody?
Yes.
Okay. So there was a lady, I'm old enough to know her, but maybe some of you are not. She's a Canadian singer, and her name was Anne Murray. Does anybody know Anne Murray?
Yes.
In fact, I used to sing a song to Becky when we were dating called Can I Have This Dance for the Rest of Our Lives? Anybody know the song? I feel like a fool up here right now. Anyways, I quickly wrote down on some of our old music some words to a song that she had, and the song was called The Little Good News. Does anybody know that song? The verse goes like this. I rolled out this morning. Kids had the morning news on. Bryant Gumbel was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. So that'll tell you how old the song is, right? Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's going to get worse, you see. We need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story, one more than I can stand. Just once I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today, can't find nothing bad to say. And then the chorus goes like this. Nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. I really could use a little good news today. We could use some good news today, and I'm going to give it to you right now. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, if you would please, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I'd want to talk to you about where hope originates from in chapter 9, verse number 6. Now, 740 years before Jesus showed up on earth, this scripture was spoken and written. So this is a long time before Messiah shows up. Incidentally, can I just remind you, as I was mentioning Israel, to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem? And if you're not aware of this, you should be. That peace affects both Jew, Palestinian, and everybody on earth. So it's something we need to do. We're told to do it, and told in the Psalms that if we do it, there's a blessing coming to us, and the blessing is the peace that God wants to bring to earth. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, "For unto us a child is born." And now, that child is the Messiah, the one that would save the world, bring redemption to all the sins of the world. And I always thought it was interesting, even before I really got involved in the things of God, as we would hear these scriptures at Christmas time, how it is that God would bring the Messiah through a child. Why was he not created as a human being, much the same as he did Adam? Why didn't he bring Adam? Why didn't he bring a spirit? Why did he bring a child? We'll see this in just a minute. It involves the innocency of a child bringing forth the purity of God. It says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, this will take full place when the end of the millennium comes, when the government rests firmly on his shoulder. But I want you to know, and I want you to take hope in this right now, that regardless of what's going on on the White House, what's going on at the Knesset, what's going on in any government headquarters, even right now, the weight of the government, the situation of the governments of the world is squarely sitting on the shoulders of the Messiah. He will have the final word. He will have the final word. It says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And that word wonderful simply means he's transcendent. He is above all things. Counselor, we know that the Holy Spirit brings counsel to us. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Tranquility, the Prince of Prosperity, the Prince of Inner Joy, the Prince of Wholeness, the Prince of Hope. That's what came in the manger that day and was prophesied 740 years before it ever happened, before Jesus ever came. So we want to talk about hope today and what we can do, what the Word says that we can do to get hope in our hearts in the middle of hopeless situations. And as I said a moment ago, hope being defined not as a concept, but as a reality. When we talk about hope, we're not talking about, I hope it happens. We're not talking about, well, if I roll the dice right, things will turn out. I'm talking about, you might want to write this down, a confident expectation in the faithfulness of God to do what he said he would do. A confident expectation in God that he is faithful to do what he said he would do. Now, there are some enemies to hope, and God gives us word. This is more of a teaching today than a preaching, but I want you to learn something today. The enemies to hope are what? Anybody know? Doubt and fear. So what is ruling the world today are those two concepts, doubt and fear. Those are planted on us. They are planted on earth in accordance with the plans of the evil one. So we understand immediately that if we're going to operate or live in hope, we're going to have to find what God says in his word are the ways that we overcome doubt and fear. Now, again, we're talking about something that is a practical application today, not something that's just a concept. If I was speaking to you about the concept of hope today, it would be as useless as me saying after church this morning, we're all going to get on a bus. Everybody, I rented a bus for us. It's out here in the parking lot. We're going to get on it. We're going to go to Chicago. And this afternoon, when we get to Chicago, we're going to see the Statue of Liberty. We're going to see Wall Street. We're going to see Times Square. We're going to see it all. See, this is what I'm talking about. We hear a lot of talk about hope, but it's a false hope because nobody tells us how to actually get there. But the Word of God does. Say amen to that. The Word of God tells us exactly how this can be done. So I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at this from God's point of view and see what he says. Fernando referred to this scripture last week as well, and I want to expound on it just a little bit. Philippians chapter 4. Now, again, get this in your mind. This is what God says you do to overcome doubt and fear so that you can have the hope that will hold you through whatever's going on in this world, through whatever's going on in your life. So we're going to start at verse number 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. And the first instruction is this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, again, notice you've heard this preached many times. I've heard Fernando and Judy speak it. Kevin has spoken it. It's not the idea in rejoicing over what's going on. It's rejoicing in the Lord. Now, I'm going to speed this thing up because I don't want to keep you here longer than you can stand. I referred to a story some time ago, and I want to go back to it. And it has to do with a situation that occurred in 1974. You may remember there's a war on the island of Cyprus. And the Greeks and the Turks were fighting over the occupation of the island. I happened to be one of 12 Americans that was sent there, but not having anything to do with that conflict. I'd been sent there because I was attached to the squadron that flew the U-2s, the spy planes, and we were flying off of the island of Cyprus. We were covering the north border of Lebanon, or the north border of Israel, the Lebanese border. We were flying spy missions for Israel. And we were flying off of the island of Cyprus. We got there, and the very next day after we arrived, we were setting up what we call our operating location, and the war started, and they grounded the airplane. So we're stuck there, and we're getting intelligence every day from Incirlik, Turkey, and they're telling us that here's where the war is, so go there, and here's where the war is now, so go there. They were literally off of a spy satellite telling us where to go to stay away from trouble. I mean, we got all the Greeks, we got all the Turks, and for some reason or another, and I still don't know this day, their sentiments turned against America, and so we were literally being hunted down, 12 of us being hunted down, and in fact, eventually, they did get one of us. One of us was killed in Nicosia, Cypriot capital. And so now we're down to 11 of us, and we're running. And you say, what's this got to do with rejoicing in the Lord? I was a new Christian, and I got the news one night that the United States had told us, we're not coming after you. It's too risky to lose possibility of losing our military locations in Greece and Turkey. And Greece and Turkey had already said, if you try to get anybody off the island, we're going to kill them and kill you. And so they said, we're leaving you there. I had a wife, a daughter that was 2 or 3 years old, and another one just about ready to be born. And I will never forget the feeling of hopelessness when at 22 years of age, I got the news, the government has left us here, and it's good luck to you, and if you make it off, and you probably won't, we'll talk about it when you get home. Now, I don't know if you've been in a hopeless situation. More than likely, nothing that is exactly like that. But the depth of hopelessness still reaches into you. My circumstances might have been different than yours are or were, but the depth of it reaches down into the soul. And suddenly, at 22 years old, I felt like I was a shell of a person standing there with no hope of ever getting off, no hope of ever seeing my wife, seeing my kids, no hope of a life, no hope of anything. But I did remember one thing, thanks be unto God. And I wanna go into something right now. I know this is a little bit mixed up, but just listen to me. It'll make sense in a minute. I now take you back to when I was just a child at the New Paris Missionary Church out here on State Road 15. I don't know if you know where it is or not, but many Sundays I stood in that church and I listened to them sing, "Holy, holy, holy," not having any idea what I was singing. I would hear them sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And I would hear them, and one that stuck in my mind was, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." In fact, I have made these up for you today. I'm going to give you one at the end of the service. This is the song, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." And when I got the news, listen to me, when I got the news that I was stuck on the island of Cyprus with enemy coming in on me from every side, a bounty on our head, the first thing that the Spirit of God brought back to me was, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Listen, what's going on downstairs right now? What's going on downstairs right now with those kids? They're being received. They're being received in heaven. They're having things spoken to them. They're having inspiration put in them. And we don't know. And the same thing is happening to all of you as well. We don't know what the future holds, but our hope is in Him. And our hope is that the Holy Spirit will bring to our minds the things that we learned today. Let me read this for you. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." You know that the last two times I've spoken here, I've spoken to you about abandoning everything except your trust in God. Abandoning everything. That's exactly what this song says. On Christ alone, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm going to give this to you at the end of the service today. And the thing that God put on our hearts, this is our Christmas gift to you. We made it big enough so you can shove it in your Bible, put it up on the refrigerator or whatever else. And I understand that Scripture is holy and anointed, but some of the old hymns are as well. Hallelujah. Some of the old songs that we used to sing. My hope is built on nothing less, anointed by God. It will bring hope to you when you don't know what to do. Pull out the song, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." He goes on to say this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, that's instruction number one, to rekindle your hope. Instruction number two, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." That word moderation is actually defined as graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience. Let you be presented to those around you as a gracious person, as an unselfish person, as a merciful person, as a person of tolerance and patience. This is your instruction. If you want the hope of God, you've got to position yourself to receive that hope. And by demanding of yourself, some people say, "Well, I'm just not a very gracious person." Well, then become a gracious person. "I'm not a very merciful person." Then become a merciful person. Are you totally out of your mind? Have you had no control over yourselves? Bring yourself into conformity with the help of the Holy Spirit as to what the Word of God says that He needs you to be. Yes. And you know an easy way to do it? Just remember how God has been to you. Just remember how God has been to you. Oh, do you remember the night that He came into your life? The grace that filled you? Do you remember the mercy? Do you remember the tolerance? Do you remember the patience that God had? You know, I heard this. A guy asked another guy, he said, do I have to give up drugs to become a Christian? And the guy said, yes. Do I have to stop drinking to become a Christian? Yes. Do I have to stop running around to become a Christian? The guy said, yes. Another guy stepped in and said, let me ask you a question. Do you get cleaned up to take a shower? And I want you to think about that. We come to Jesus as we are. We step in the shower as we are. And then Jesus begins to do the work. Jesus is patient with us. Jesus is tolerant with us. We need to be the same. That is step number two to rekindling hope in our hearts. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. And then it's very interesting. It says, the Lord is at hand. What does that mean? He's coming back. He's at the doorstep. He goes on to say, verse number six, be careful for nothing. That is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests known to God. Now, let's look at this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything and every circumstance. Whatever it is that causes you to lose hope, start praying. And that word supplication is actually the word indigence, which means out of your poverty, start praying. Out of a thankful heart, but no resource around you, I have decided, this is what that word supplication means, I have decided to forsake everything in order to trust God. I will not allow my spirit to be polluted by any earthly or worldly thing. I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Can you make that decision today? That is the decision that God is bringing us to. In fact, that may be the sole reason that God has brought us to this place today, so that we will stand there and make a conscious decision, standing in the presence of God, and say, Father, at this point, I choose to forsake everything and completely and totally follow you. Amen. You know, by virtue of the fact I'm standing here, that day when I got that news in Cyprus, and I said, Lord, I remember the hymn. Now, isn't it interesting? I didn't remember any scripture, but I did remember the hymn. The hymns, the old hymns, they're filled with theology. I mean, they are crammed full of theology. And it was not long after that, and by that I don't mean years, I mean months later, we were miraculously airlifted off that island. But the important thing is what went on between the time I got the news and the time I declared that my hope was built on nothing less than Him and righteousness. Between that time and the time the helicopter showed up, we had no fear whatsoever. I had no fear whatsoever. And I was able to share the gospel with 10 other guys that were as desperate as I was. You see, you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know how God's going to work. He goes on to say, praying and supplicating, that is, I'm broke, God, I got nothing. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, I wrote a couple things down here about being thankful. And I wrote, number one, if you can't find anything to be thankful for, being thankful for past mercies. As you sit here right now, maybe no hope whatsoever. People have disappointed you. Your job has disappointed you. The season is disappointing you. Can you think back with any thought at all about a time in your life where God miraculously was merciful to you? And I will answer the question for you. If you try, yes, every single one of us can look back at the time where Jesus was merciful and gracious to us. We all have a reason that we can be thankful. Number two, we gratefully acknowledge the attention of God. When we're giving thanks, we gratefully say, Father, I am so thankful that the God of this universe is aware of me. I want to give you another story. This was so cool. I mean, it was cool to me, probably won't be to you. A few weeks ago, I was sitting downstairs in my office praying. And I find myself trying to find a different vocabulary to thank God for his greatness. And I made this statement. I said, God, if I could just understand your greatness, I might be able to find some different language to express my gratitude. And God gave me a vision. God gave me a vision. Listen to this. Of all the creation that there is. And I'm not just talking about what they look through that telescope and see hundreds of thousands of light years ahead. There's stuff beyond that as well. And over everything that is created, God showed me this, a blanket around all of his creation. How many of you know that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth? And I saw this spirit hovering over everything that is created, but the most remarkable thing was I saw a string attached to not only everything that was created, but every individual thing that was created. There was a string from that blanket down to every blade of grass, to every hair on your head, sorry for you, everything that was created, there was a string attached. And God showed me this. He said, but the string that I have attached to mankind is the only string that has two-way communication, thanks to Jesus. He's aware of everything. The Bible says when a sparrow falls, he's aware of it. But us, the highest form of his creation, above the angels, he said, your connection is two-way, thanks to Jesus, who opened the gate, who brought us to a position where we can communicate with God and God with us. Can you imagine how unthinkable it is that at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you wake up and you want to talk to God, he is there. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to write a book. You don't have to do any of this stuff. You say, God, I am here. You are there. Here is my need. Do we have a reason to be thankful? Absolutely we do. And then this is the one that really requires faith. Thanksgiving, thanking God in advance for what you just asked him to do. Thanking God in advance for what you just asked him to do. And I remember those days back to Cyprus, running around on that island, trying to stay out of fire. And God, it was only the Lord. It was only the Lord. It was only the goodness of God that prompted my spirit to continue to thank him for the day that I would see that plane or that helicopter finally come in to get us out of there. And you know something, God, again, by virtue of the fact that I'm standing here, God did not disappoint. God did not disappoint. How many times do we read in the Word where he says, anybody who has ever put their hope and trust in God has never been disappointed? Now listen to this. And the peace, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, in other words, it transcends anything you might stand there and try to scrounge out or figure out how I can get peace, how I can get hope in this situation. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. You have no idea where it came from. It just came. Has anybody here besides me ever experienced that? I have no idea where that came from. I have no idea. The circumstance certainly does not indicate that I should have peace, but I have peace. Remember the song we used to sing? I got peace like a river, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. Where'd it come from? I don't know. I don't know. It's just there. And look what it does. And here's where we get down to. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, and the actual translation says, keep guard over your heart and over your mind, Why did it choose those two words to be included in the scripture? The heart is where doubt comes in, and the mind is where fear comes in. Remember, Fernando, last Sunday you talked, and I think you talked about how you start talking to yourself, and you listed for you, she listed for you five things. I took a picture of them. I've been looking at them all week. I used to be that way. I'd be talking to somebody, and yeah, I got a sore throat. I'm feeling a bit feverish. I feel sick. And more, next thing I know, I'm saying, I'm not feeling too good myself. I was fine before you called. What happens? Doubt starts coming into the heart. And fear starts coming in the mind. But the scripture says, and the actual literal translation of this verse is, God, and I'll paraphrase it, God says, I'm going to put a guard at your heart and at your mind so that fear and doubt cannot come in. Say, well, I want that. I certainly want that. But I don't have it. Well, maybe it's because you're not doing the things that the scripture says in order to get that peace there. Maybe you're not being gracious. Maybe you're not being unselfish. Maybe you're not finding something to rejoice in right in the middle of the horrible situation. Maybe you're not continuing to pray and make supplication. Maybe you're not saying, God, look, I abandon everything. I am totally cashed in towards you. I got nothing left that I'm going to depend on except you. See, when you do those things, that's when God sends the guard. When you do those things, God sends the guard. I don't have time to finish this up, but I do want to give these to you. And one last illustration off of that day in Cyprus. There was a day where myself and a guy named Rich Pope, who happened to be from Grand Rapids, Michigan, we had gotten separated from the other. By that time, we had 11 of us, so we'd gotten separated from the other nine, and that's a long story, but we had worked ourselves right up against the east coast of Cyprus, and right 30, 40 yards away from us was a rock cliff that went down into the ocean. And there was to the other side of us, there was a big, tall sand dune, and we were so exhausted, had nothing to eat except what we could find in blown-out grocery stores and things like that, and we're on the run by that time for months, and we laid down in the sand to sleep. And I woke up, and there were clouds that kept going over the top of us, and they were small clouds, but they were close to the ground. They were moving real quick, and I couldn't figure out. I've never seen a cloud like that. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, because the sound of missiles and rockets and bombs and landmines and everything was constantly going off, so much so that you just got used to them. You didn't even hear them. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, on the other side of that sand dune, there must be a war going on. I mean, there must be ground fighting going on. And so I crawled up along with Rich to the top of this dune and stayed down and looked over and saw what, up to that point, I'd already been to Southeast Asia two or three times, but I saw a ground war going on there like I had never seen before. And it was coming our way. And I thought, I told Rich, I said, as soon as they cross that dune, we are done. We got no place to go. We got a rock cliff and the ocean. And we were trapped. Our lives were done. And I came to that agreement. I said, God, this is it. And I asked him, I still remember very clearly saying, Lord, please take care of Becky and Amy and Rachel. I didn't even know that she'd been born yet because we lost communication. And I said, whatever my other kid is, please take care of them. Have you ever, maybe not in, again in that situation, but been to a spot where you just say, it's done. I have no hope. It's over. And you know what happened? My hope is built on nothing. Here came the song again. my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And then I remember this one. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then be in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. I thought, God, whatever comes, you will take care of them, and I am with you. And I tell you the truth as I stand here before you. As we stood there or laid there peering over that sand dune, that war, that battle, that ground fight was coming our way, and suddenly it began to shift to the north before they ever crossed the dune. And we watched the last one walk out of sight. You want a faith-building experience? Put yourself in the hands of God. Don't look to the White House. Don't look to the Democrats. Don't look to the Republicans. Don't look to the Social Security system. Look to God. Put your hope in him. That's what this season is all about. Our Messiah was brought to this earth out of hope. He came to bring us hope. And I want you to know that God is faithful to deliver to everyone that says yes to his word. If there's somebody here this morning that says, look, I'm really in what I feel to be a hopeless situation, I want to pray for you. No condemnation. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody that would just stand up right now and say, I need hope. I need hope. All right. Anybody else? Would you all pray with me, please? Father, I lift my brother up to you right now. God, by his own confession, and I pray that you honor him and bless him for that. By his own confession, God, he needs your hope. Not the hope of the world, not the hope of a resource, but your hope. Father, I commit him into your hands. And I pray, God, right now that you give him the strength, convict his heart to begin to thank you, to begin to thank you for who you are and what you are, to give thanks. I ask you, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to help him to be gracious and merciful and patient and tolerant. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name. He may not even be able to remember these things, but I ask you, God, to prompt him on these things through this day. God, to bring the needs before you, but bring them before you with the thought, God, there's nobody else. It's you or it's nothing. And Father, I pray the peace of God that transcends all understanding will stand guard at his heart and at his mind, and he shall continue to hope until he prevails in battle. Father, I speak that over him right now. And I say that you are a warrior. It does not matter what the circumstance is. It does not matter what others have said. It does not matter how others have treated you. You are a warrior called by God, empowered by God, and destined for victory. Stay the course, my brother, and do not give in by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for this, God. I speak that over him right now and declare it to be done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you all stand with me, please? You know that song? Let's sing it together. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When Christ shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Raise your hands and let's sing the chorus one more time. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now before you go, can you pass these out for me, Fernando? I hope I got enough. But as I said, use that as a tool. When you get down, pull it out and sing it. If you don't know the chorus, if you forget the chord or the melody, speak the words. God's got goodness for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless you. You are dismissed to go. As soon as you get your copy, you can take off. Have a great week, a blessed week, and a week full of hope. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.